Thank you, Min, for your wonderful review of root systems. Now I would like to introduce the two central concepts of our project, symmetric spaces, and zonal spherical functions. Symmetric spaces are, not surprisingly, particular manifolds with a lot of symmetry. Of course, we must define what we mean by symmetry. On a manifold, it is possible to define something called a metric, which makes it possible to do geometry. By symmetry, we mean a bijective function that preserves the ismetric. On a semisimply group, there is a standard metric called the Killing form. It is invariant under left multiplication and right multiplication. Hence, given a Lie group G, there is a group of symmetries that looks something like G cross G. These are a lot of symmetries. Other examples of symmetric spaces are the spheres. All symmetric spaces arise from Lie groups. I will demonstrate how S2 arises from Lie groups. Recall that my favorite Lie group, O3, is the group of rotations of 3 space. Technically, O3 also includes reflections, so what I really want is called SO3, where reflections are not allowed. O3 is nothing but two disjoint copies of SO3, so there is little significant difference anyway. SO3 is some twisty 3 manifold. It's actually not too hard to figure out what SO3 looks like as a manifold. Remember that the Lie algebra of O3, and hence also SO3, was R3, where we identified a vector with a rotation along the axis it defines. This works well, except we have multiple points for the same rotation. For example, given a unit vector in hat, the rotation theta in hat is the same as the rotation theta plus 2 pi times in hat. We can remedy this problem by restricting to the solid ball of radius pi. Now the only duplication is that each rotation of pi radians is duplicated by antipodal points on the boundary. That is to say, the rotation pi in hat is the same as the rotation pi negative in hat. This duplication may be eliminated by identifying antipodal boundary points. After identifying antipodal boundary points, we have a bijection. This is one of the several equivalent definitions of real projective 3 space. It follows that the rotation group SO3 is topologically equivalent to RP3. Now we have quite an understanding of SO3. By definition, it is a rotation group. From before, we knew its Lie algebra and its root system. Since it is a Lie group, it has a metric and is a symmetric space. Now we know that as a manifold it looks like RP3. As a group, SO3 acts on R3 by rotation. Consider the orbit under SO3 of a point in R3 other than 0. Then this orbit is the sphere S2. Given some point x on S2, we want to look at the subgroup of elements which fix x under this action. This subgroup is SO2, the subgroup of rotations of the plane orthogonal to x. SO2 is isomorphic to the circle group U1 since it is parameterized by a single rotation angle. Now set h equal to SO2. The choice of h is determined by the choice of the point x which it fixes. Now consider the right cosets SO3 mod h. H is not a normal subgroup, so the cosets do not form a group. We have a natural left action of SO3 on the right cosets by g sends g prime h to g g prime h. This space of right cosets looks a lot like the orbit of our point x, which was S2. For example, SO3 is 3-dimensional, SO2 is 1-dimensional, so the space of right cosets SO3 mod SO2 is 3 minus 1 equals 2-dimensional. Also, the subgroup of SO3 that fixes the coset H is precisely H. In fact, the right cosets are exactly S2. It is not difficult to prove that any transitive orbit of a left action corresponds to a right coset space. Thus SO3 mod SO2 equals S2. Once again, let me remind you that S2 has no group structure since SO2 was not a normal subgroup. A space of the form G mod H, where G is a Lie group and H is a Lie subgroup, is called a homogeneous space. A symmetric space is simply a homogeneous space, with the additional technical restriction that H be the fixed subgroup of some involution of G. A symmetric space G mod H inherits a metric from G, allowing one to do geometry on the symmetric space. In particular, we can define the Laplacian on a symmetric space. In the case where the symmetric space was a Lie group, the group characters were eigenfunctions of the Laplacian. For a general symmetric space with no group structure, we can ask what are the eigenfunctions of the Laplacian, and the resulting function is called a spherical function. In this way, spherical functions provide a generalization of group characters to certain spaces that are not groups. Characters form a complete orthonormal set for the space of class functions on a group. They are complete for only class functions since characters are always constant on conjugacy classes. In general, a zonal spherical function on G mod H is an eigenfunction of the Laplacian that is also invariant under the left action of H. For example, on S2, the zonal spherical functions are the harmonics that are constant on latitudes, since the left action of S02 on S2 is to rotate it about some fixed axis. These are nothing but the standard spherical functions of angular momentum zero. Here is a cross-sectional plot of the first several zonal spherical functions for S2. These functions are constant on latitudes, so you should think of these plots as rotated about the y-axis. As you can see, they oscillate sinusoidally from positive to negative along the latitudes. Spherical functions are a generalization of Fourier analysis to symmetric spaces. The zonal spherical functions for S2 are a complete basis for the functions of latitude. It is also possible to generate the non-zonal spherical functions, which are not constant on latitude. When doing Fourier analysis on any compact space, our basis functions must satisfy a discrete periodicity condition. For example, on S2, the zonal spherical functions must oscillate between positive and negative an integer number of times. In fact, we observe that the unique zonal spherical polynomial of S2 of degree d has d sign changes. No sign changes here. One sign change. One. Two sign changes. One. Two. Three sign changes, and so on. We see that the zonal spherical polynomials can be indexed by a one-dimensional lattice, which is in fact A1. In general, zonal spherical polynomials, like group characters, are indexed by the dominant roots in some root system. Now I will turn it over to Amin to talk about Dr. Sahi's algorithm and our adventures with that.